Have you ever opened up your heart and said, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here? Palms up, authentic in your place. We are asking God to continue to be with us as we worship in His Word, in Spirit, and in truth. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So I want to share something with you. About 6 weeks ago, I gave up coffee. So if I don't seem like myself, you're right, I'm not. It has been quite a treat to, and I'm thinking about giving up chocolate as well. Right? So I had that moment I wanted to share with you that you will no longer hear me say to you, have you had your coffee in the morning? Because I've had 3 cups already. So I am without coffee. I've been without coffee for 6 weeks. Have you noticed a difference? Okay, great. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. God is good, and all the time. One day, Jesus was standing beside Lake Genesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw 2 boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful for this passage of Scripture. Open up our hearts to receive your message for each of us this day, individually and collectively, oh God. Remove anything that may hinder us from hearing from you. Thank you, God, for this moment. Hide me behind the cross. May this message and our worship be pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen. So I wanted to start our time together with a story of a man. He lived the lifestyle of the rich and famous. He was born into wealth and privilege. He was a notorious party animal, a playboy. He lived a life of selfish ease. His mother, though, was an upstanding Christian, But her son frequented the low-life dives of the city. He kept company with questionable characters. He had a son by his live-in girlfriend and made no move to marry her. He was, in short, an embarrassment. One day, this entitled young man had a change of heart. Over the years, he'd heard the rudiments of Christian teaching from his mother, but it never really stuck. On this particular day, he found himself sitting in the garden of the family estate, a Bible in his hands, because he felt troubled by the emptiness of his life. The young man opened the Bible and read these words from Romans 13. Live a life that is honorable in this day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and lasciviousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. You know, years later, this man wrote about how he felt that day. He said, instantly, it was as if the light of peace was poured into my heart. And all the gloom of doubt vanished away. Not long after, this playboy surprised his friends by training for the priesthood. Ultimately, he became not only a priest, but a bishop. It is this very man who we call a saint and others a saint in many Christian traditions. His name was Augustine, and he lived in the 4th century. He was as unlikely a candidate for sainthood. But saints, you here, Jesus calls the ordinary, the skilled, the sinful to follow him. Even through a casual reading of the New Testament, we witness people responding to Jesus in different ways. Some ran to him while others ran away from him. Some praised him and pressed against him while others tried to throw him down a cliff. However, some are like St. Augustine, the father of theology, but hardly anyone was indifferent. Everyone responds in some way, shape, or form, everyone, to Jesus. For the past several weeks, we've been talking about the beginnings of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke, his baptism. Remember, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. His first miracle at this ordinary wedding where his mother tells the servants, do as he tells you. And he turns water into wine. And of course, his declaration of this ministry, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the blind, to the poor, to the oppressed, and be the light of the world. But today, the Gospel of Luke moves our attention elsewhere. And we find ourselves down by the lakeside. The crowd is pressed around Jesus to hear God's word. Jesus spots two boats and asks Simon to row out a little distance from the shore, away from the pressing the crowd. Jesus sat and taught the crowd from a distance. But after the teaching, Jesus instructs Simon to row out a little bit farther and cast his nets further into the deep water and drop your net for a catch. So often, because we are familiar with this text, we focus on the miracle of the multitude of fish, the catch that was so great it began to split the nets. At times, we focus on what it means to go deeper in our faith as an analogy of casting your nets deeper into the water. So often, beautiful people, we focus on the big things of God instead of the little things, the conversations that carry deep meaning leading to action. So today, I want us to look at Simon's response to Jesus, because amid the called and sent, there is provision in obedience. When Jesus instructs Simon to row out a little more and drop his nets, Simon's response is so typical and so real. He says, "Master, teacher, preacher, Jesus, we've worked hard all night long." Some translations say, "We have toiled all night long and caught nothing." We have worked hard and have nothing to show for it. Have you ever worked so hard all night, all day, and have nothing to show for it, walking away disappointed? You may have felt a little bit like Simon, frustrated, exhausted, exasperated, even a little bit confused. I mean, he's been fishing all night. That's when the fish tend to bite. This is his skill, right? He knows what he is doing. So how can this teacher, preacher, tell him how to do his job? Simon is amongst those hearing the word of God. He sat in the boat next to Jesus. Where Jesus preached and taught. He sat in the boat. Every Sunday, we sit in the boat. Every time we read scripture, we sit in the boat. Every time we pray, we sit in the boat. Every time we praise God with hymns and songs, we sit in the boat. Every time we worship, we are sitting in the boat. When we rely on faith into the unknown, we should be sitting in the boat. In the text, in the boat was a man who worked all night, who toiled all night and had nothing to show for it. And he still sat with Jesus. This verse drums up all kinds of images in my mind. You know, Simon could have said no. "I'm tired." He could have complained and he could have said, "Please ask my partner and take another boat." But he did not. See, he heard the teachings of Jesus. And when we hear and obey the teachings of Christ, we will find there is provision in obedience when we follow Jesus. For the first time, I noticed that Simon's life-altering decision was not after the miracle of this abundant catch, but saying yes to getting into the boat. Saints, getting into the boat varies for each of us. So I ask you, what does it mean to follow Jesus every single day? What does it mean to trust Jesus every day of your life and every day you wake up and you get into the boat? Simon said, I've been working all night long and I've caught nothing. But because you, Jesus, because you, Master, you, Teacher, because you say so, I will be obedient and drop the nets. Because you say so. How many of us have grown up with parents? When they tell us to do something and we ask why, I won't say that I am that parent, but I might be. And you respond, what? Because I said so. And you just expect them to do it. That's what happens when we wake up and we get in the boat. We will do what Jesus asks us to do because we trust and believe in him. Oftentimes, very few of us recognize ourselves in this story. After all, this is a call story. And many believe being called is only for preachers and teachers. But Jesus calls everybody. So many of us may not recognize this call to feed the hungry, to sit with the lowly, to pray with those around us, to give generously and beyond our means, to visit the imprisoned, the homebound, the sick, those in the hospital. Some of us have yet to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Think about this. Getting in the boat means to serve in mission, to share the good news of the gospel and the work of this great church. I'm not talking about the denomination. I'm talking about Cokesbury. Getting in the boat means using your words to tell people about Christ. Every seat in here is an opportunity to share the good news and invite others into the boat. This call may be so clear to some of us, or even unclear to others. It may even be a bit scary. But isn't this when life's altering decisions are made? Even when we cannot see the end, our faith prevails. Jesus called the disciples not because of who they were, but because of who they could be. There is provision in obedience because Jesus says so. Jesus said to Simon, I will make you fisher of men. I will equip you with what you need, the strength, the love, the grace, the hope, and even more. And when you say, I have been at this all night long and have nothing to show for it, nothing, Jesus will give you strength to carry on. We witness these unlikely disciples, unlikely candidates, an unlikely church at its beginnings, ordinary people, hesitant in faith, wavering in commitment, and oftentimes difficult to live with. Yet these are the ones God calls. God doesn't call or give direction to the equipped. God equips us as we go. But we got to get in the boat day after day, week after week, minute by minute, hour by hour. You know, Simon, and sometimes we don't look at this in the passage as well, they had this huge, two boats, two nets full of fish. And they brought it to the shore, and what did they do? They left it. The wealth, they left it. The privilege, they left it. To go to be with Jesus. Saints, maybe it's the past and how things used to be at the church that we need to leave behind so we can get in the boat. Maybe it's trying to create something old instead of embracing the new that we need to do to follow Jesus. But I want to make sure you understand this. All along the way, there is provision in obedience. The provision is that God is with us and says, "Do not be afraid." This miraculous catch is an encounter with the divine. The fishermen labored throughout the night without success. But when Jesus is teaching, he bids Peter to try again. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, we will see Jesus bidding God's people to try again and again and again, get off the shore and into the boat. We experience through this text a manifestation of the divine, provoking amazement, fear, and even a sense of sinfulness in the presence of the holy. Simon says to Jesus, "I am not worthy." But Jesus dispels the fear. See, when we step beyond our comfort zones and we step into the boat, it might mean that we have to ask God for more help or perhaps even forgiveness. Simon's response was similar to many of us who began to suspect that God has a job for us. We respond with fear, declare ourselves unworthy, but God's call, saints, is rooted in everyday life. And the promptings to serve usually happen during our regular routines, our everyday activities, walking, going to the gym, going to the grocery store, driving our car, whatever it is, God calls the ordinary through the daily routines so that we can be difference makers in the world. Our calling emerges. And I want you to know, no person is good enough, strong enough, or pure enough. And God wants you anyway. Jesus looked past Simon's Peter's lack of faith and lifted him up and called him anyway. So where might God be calling you? Mission? Teaching the children on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings? Flashing those pearly whites in hospitality and greeting people with love? Maybe you're being called into prison ministry or homeless ministry, food ministry. Maybe you're being called into leadership, prayer. But whatever it is, go. Because that is where the church is. We're being called into places bigger than ourselves. Where is God calling you? We are to be more than fishers of men. We are to be enablers of life. Through our faith, we are to offer hope, and truth, and life. Where is God calling you? It's time for us to get into the boat and to not be afraid. To not be afraid of showing up as Jesus in the flesh, to bring good news to our neighbors, the lowly, the impoverished, the helpless, and to each other daily. Where are you being called? Wherever it may be, the grace of God's call is already there. Do not be afraid. Do not let your past stop you. God's mercy will always pave the path to our future. Get into the boat and say yes to Christ. So as the band begins to come back up, I want us together to respond this day with gratitude to God through Psalm 138. Close your eyes. And hear the psalmist, David, hear his words. He says, I give thanks to you with all my heart, Lord. I sing your praise before all other gods. I bow down toward your holy temple and thank your name for your loyal love and faithfulness, because you have made your name and word greater than everything else. On the day I cried out, you answered me. You encouraged me with inner strength. Let all the earth's rulers give thanks to you, Lord, when they hear what you say. Let them sing about the Lord's ways, because the Lord's glory is so great. Even though the Lord is high, he can still see the lowly, but keep his distance from the arrogant. Whenever I'm in deep trouble, you make me live again. You send your power against my enemy's wrath. You save me with your strong hand. The Lord will do this all for my sake. And then the psalmist ends. Your faithful love lasts forever, Lord. Don't let go of what your hands have made. Don't let go of me. Don't let go, God. We will not be afraid. Just because Jesus said so. And I think that's enough. Amen.